Today we're going to continue to follow a gentleman called Elijah. Remember him last week?
Yep.
Wow, I mean, what a man of God. It just, in summary, he come on the scene out of nowhere, and his job was to speak to the king of Israel, who was terrible, who was against God. And so God used him as a messenger to tell the king and to shut up the water. Remember that? And once he gives a message to the king of Israel, Ahab, God took him and put him in a cave and hid him there for a while and fed him by a raven, brought him meat every day, and had water down by the brook. Twice a day he ate. That might be the diet I need, huh? But see, he did with the will of God, and God continued to provide for him. But while he's there, God come to him and said, okay, I need you to leave now. I need to go into another land. And where did he send him to? He sent him to a land that was controlled by Ahab's father-in-law, who was more wicked than Ahab. This is 1 Kings chapter 17, where we shared last week at. So, he goes into this land. In fact, let me just do a quick summary here. Zarephath is where he had to go to. He says, now listen, all the water is dried up there in the brook. There's a drought going on. I want you to go to the city. You're going to find a widow lady there. And she's going to feed you. So he does. He goes to the city. There's a widow lady really down and out, depressed. Things are not going well. She's running out of food. And what she's planning on doing is making a little pancake, if I put it that way, for her and her son to share, then lay down and die. Because nothing else she can do. She's at wit's end. Everything is run out. But what happens? Elijah shows up, a man of God, says, listen, before you feed yourself, make me a little pancake, I'll eat it. And I'll guarantee you, you'll never run out of flour, you won't run out of oil. And so she had to make a great decision, did she not? Do I feed my kid, at least have a full belly, or at least food in the belly when he dies? Or do I trust this man of God? Do I trust the Word of God? And she made a great decision, because she trusts the Word of God. Fed the man of God first, and his Word was true, and they never ran out of flour or oil, and brought them through this drought time. Wow, what an awesome thing. And so Elijah was doing God's work, encouraging her. She's the one that had to decide to follow God's word. Amen? And it's the same way as us. We gather here today. I can stand up here and be a cheerleader. I can tell you everything about God, testify and everything, which is fantastic. But you're the individual one that has to decide whether or not you want to obey the word of God. Okay? We see that God doesn't change as we obey the word of God. The plans he already has for us shall take place. We have greater needs today. Let me take it back. We have greater needs coming our way than we have today. But God will use today to prepare you for those needs that's coming. Amen. And he will build your faith. Only way to get through life with the Master is having your faith increased. And we know the Word of God says, how do you increase your faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Again, bringing this Word into us, bringing this Word into us, bringing this Word into us. Oh man, like I said the other day, I watch RFD channel quite a lot, but they have this one commercial. And it starts off, what'd you say? It's an advertisement for a hearing aid company. I know it by heart. As soon as I see the picture of the guy sitting there in the sun, what'd you say? Wow. Because I heard it over and over. I mean, I fast forward it now. I record that. But see, that's what happens to us. As we hear that word of God, it builds our faith. And our faith is what's going to move mountains in our lives. And I'm not just talking physical mountains. I'm talking about the mountains that's in our life today and what's coming on down the road. Having strength. So the lady had to make a decision. She followed God's word. And man, she's feeding her son. But then we see shortly thereafter, the son dies. And right away, she starts blaming the man of God. Man, if he hadn't come into my house, If you haven't come in here, why did you come in? I'm just paraphrasing it there. It's in 17th chapter of 1 Kings. And so, what does the man of God do? He takes a child upstairs to where this room that he had been staying at, laid upon him three times, called upon the Lord, and the son came back to life. Amen. And then the mama said, "Oh, truly, you're a man of God." Now, what I like about it, I look at it, is this. From the very beginning, God knew that mama had a greater need. And that was her son. And he put things in her path to allow her by faith to make all the difference in the world for her son. Just when she thought, "Man, I started following God, listening to God's word, and this is how you repay me? My son's dead?" No. God's got plans to bring that son back to life. Okay, and today, many of us sitting here today, we think, "Man, my children's dead. They're away from me. They're no good. There's no hope for them." God says, No. Listen to what God says. As you come to God, He has a way to work in your children's life that you could never expect. Amen. We have to trust in God. Because Satan will come and try to derail you with your walk with God. No doubt that was Satan getting his lady's head. How quickly she forgot that it's because of this man of God and God's word that her son was still alive anyway. And maybe today is the same way with us. Our children are alive today because of God being involved in their life. They might not be where we want them to be, but they're still there. And God isn't done with them yet. He ain't done with you yet. Amen. Knowing the Word of God and having faith in it. And that's what these do. They build our faith. What God did for him to do for us. And think about Elijah. Elijah is a person that won't die. As you get into 2 Kings, and I'm not going there today, but I don't think so, but we could be there. You're going to find out that God will send a chariot of fire down to pick up Elijah and take him to heaven. Wow. And if in the prophecy or in the book of Revelation, we believe Elijah will be one of the prophets at the wall, the weeping wall during the middle half of tribulation. But think what happened. He always was obedient to God, no matter what it was. And he never tasted death at the point right to heaven. Guys, that's where we are today. As a born again Christian, as you are a follower of the Lord and follow His word, we shall never taste death. We're going, it won't be a chariot of fire for us. It's going to be the angel of the Lord come and get us out of here. Man, by following the word, I mean, there's nothing negative about following God and following His word. It's only the best for us. Now, I guess the hardest part is convincing yourself that you're not perfect. Exactly. That's hard for me to convince myself that. That's the hardest thing is getting through your own head that you do have flaws in your life, that you need Jesus in your life. You might be a good person. You might do a lot of good stuff. But without Christ, you still have flaws in your life. He came to redeem us from those flaws and give us strength to overcome them. All we'll still have things in our life that we'll be working on, but not things that we want to keep in our life. You ever do stuff today that you wish you hadn't done again? Says yes. But see, there was a time that you wouldn't care. Isn't it right? I don't care what I said. I meant that. But now you go, "Oh man, why did I say that? I didn't mean it. See, that's God working in your life. And every one of us have a need of Him completely in our life. We never ever want to get to, "Well, hey, I gave my life to Jesus 20 years ago. I got baptized." Okay, well, that's enough. I don't think so. You're not reading the same Bible I am. Because once He redeemed you, now He owns you. You're His mouth. Everything that you do is His. Time is coming. He's coming to get us. But He's not here yet. So we can never Never want to be satisfied. I want to hear more of the Word of God. I want to grow stronger in the Word of God. I think every one of us will say, how many people want your prayers to be stronger, more powerful, when it comes to the Lord yielding ourselves to that? But here we have Elijah now. But the lady's son back to life. Feeling pretty good. I mean, that's a pretty good thing, I think. A resume. I mean, let's see what else. Made the cloud shut up for 3.5 years, and I brought a kid back to life. Okay. What else I need to do? Well, it says here in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, now it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth. He said, all right, go back to this king that we brought a drought on. I really don't care much for you, Elijah, who worships false gods. I want you to go back and see him. And I'll send the rain. I mean, but you know what? He's gonna do it. Because he follows God. God never tells us it's going to be always convenient for us, or always going to be doing what we want to do. But God, that's what God wants us, when he calls us to do something, we just do it. And again, look at Elijah. Always obeyed God, boom, went straight to heaven. Now the Bible does say there is a time to live and a time to die, come to judgment. Elijah will die. But he will not die until the middle of tribulation. Him and his partner with him be killed, but raised back to life 3 days later to the astonishment of all the people. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Wow, I can imagine people walking in there saying, well, here he comes again. What are you going to do now? Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. And it says here that Obadiah, he feared the Lord greatly. For when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and provided them and fed them bread and water. So what he's saying, Jezebel, which you'll hear more later on, killed the prophets of God. Put those who are bringing the word of God to people, killed them. And Obadiah, I was going to say a Star Wars name, I forget. But he's a man of God, and he took 100 of these prophets and hid them. So his heart is for the one true living God, but he's in the house of a king that worships Baal. But Ahab said to Obadiah, go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we will find grass and keep the horses and mules alive and not have to kill some of the cattle. So they divided the land between them to survey it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. So man, we got to find something. I mean, God brought the drought, and he's trying to bypass God. Instead of turning to God, say, okay, God, yes, we turn back to you. We're going to find a way around this thing of God. We're going to find some green grass and water ourselves. I mean, can you imagine looking for something that God's already prohibited from you? Trying to dig it back up again? That's what he's trying to do. He doesn't recognize that he is the reason why the country's going through it. He's in charge. You know that? But instead of admitting that, instead of saying, yes, I blew it, man, Jehovah is God of Israel. These false gods of Baal, we need to get rid of them. He said, I'm going to find a way. And folks, we can be the same way. We know at times we do things that God tells us not to do. And we try to take those things and find something good in them. And what all it takes is repenting. Recognize, God, I blew it. Yes, you did. Forgive me, I have. Let's go. And we will. Okay, never being afraid to admit to God what he already knows when you blow it. But this pride has been a destructive force ever since mankind took a breath. Ever since Satan raised up against God. We have to watch out for our pride. But so now, as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he recognized him and fell on his face and said, is this you, Elijah, my master? And he said to him, It is I. Go, say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. He said, what sin have I committed that you are giving your servant into the hand of Ahab to put me to death? I mean, why did he send me back to Ahab? He told me he'd be doing this other project. Elijah said, and as the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent to search for you. And when they said he is not here, he made the kingdom of nations swear that they could not find you. And now you are saying, go, say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. It will come about when I leave you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you where I do not know. So when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Although I, your servant, have feared the Lord my whole youth. Has it not been told to my master what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? That I hid 100 prophets of the Lord by the 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water? And now you are saying, go, say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. He will then kill me. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. He said, man, you want to go back in front of this king, the one that knows I hid 100 prophets from, who searched all the kingdom, searched everywhere for Elijah. Now, I got to go back and say, hey, he lives. He said, he's going to think that I'm the one, I hid you. He's not going to be very happy, is he? Huh, Tim? I don't think King Ahab's going to be very happy with Obadiah. I mean, he probably hate keeping him on to start with. But Elijah said, go tell him. I'm going to show up today. So Elijah is going to step right back in front of King Ahab. And when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is this you? You troubler of Israel? You troubler of Israel? You troubler of Israel. You brought all this on Israel. He still isn't looking at himself saying, I brought this on. My lifestyle brought this on. My decisions brought this on. My stubbornness brought this on. My lying to people brought this on. But no, Elijah's here. Oh my. But he's a troubler. Oh folks. And this still goes on to the day when it comes to Christians. We get blamed for everything, but doesn't God get blamed for everything? He doesn't do any of it. He gets blamed for all of it because people will not want to admit themselves that they messed up their decisions. That free will that we have, we made some decisions we should never have, and our life went down the tubes for a while. But we blame God for it. And God's the one there waiting. He's there without anyone else around you, waiting to lift you up, waiting to encourage you, give you another chance, forgive us of everything. And a lot of times our friends aren't there for that, are they? We fall down, they step over us, and they go on to someone else. Well, they might stop and go through your pockets while they step over you. But man, God, if you just understand how precious you are in the sight of God, every one of us, every one of us. He said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have. Ooh. Because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed the Baals, otherwise the false gods. Right, I mean, here we go, guys. Elijah is standing in front of the most powerful person other than God in Israel. Say, it isn't my fault, it's your fault. You're the one. How much guts would that take? Well, maybe put it this way. How much commitment would that take to God? Knowing that there's only one true God and He was sent to speak for God. No matter what happens to me, He's saying, I'm doing what God's called me to do. Right. You know, and that's where we will get in our life. If we follow Jesus, we'll get the point. I don't care. God said to do it. God said don't do it. I'm not going to do it. People make fun of you, leave you, they do stuff. Who owns the throne in heaven?
God.
Jesus Christ. Amen. No one here on the earth owns it. Now, some of them might think they're going to sit there, but they're not going to sit there. No matter how hard it is at times, guys, Jesus Christ, Jehovah, is the only way to go. Only way to go. Now then, send and gather to me all of Israel at Mount Carmel, together 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. Wow. You think, bring your prophets here. Because again, Israel is worshiping a false god. They have false prophets that's telling them what God says. And they're convinced that this is the true way, the true God. So just bring them up here to the mountain. Okay. So Ahab sent a messenger among all the sons of Israel, verse 20, and brought their prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." Wow. Let's plow there for a second, guys. How long are you going to teeter between two opinions? And the same question goes to us today. How long will we teeter between two opinions? The world or God? The word of the Lord or the world? Well, yeah, I know. But I'm saying, think about ourselves teetering. You're in the world one day. You're in the Lord the other day. What I mean by in the world, I'm saying you're back in the things of the world. You're in the lust of the flesh, per se, okay? Back and forth. Don't shake your head, but does that sound familiar with your life? One day, man, you're up and, man, God is it. And the next day, you're back in doing the things of the world. And I'm not saying being attacked in the mind isn't being in the world. But we go back into the things of the world. And there's actually, you can say it, Satan is the prince of this world. He's in charge. Man gave it to him, okay? But Christ is king. But back and forth. And the question is, how much longer will we do that? Us gathered here today, when we step back in the world, we get miserable. Ah, man, here I am again. Ah, the awesome thing is, God's there with us yet. Turn back around. But he's saying, how much longer? Because sooner or later, you will choose one or the other. Completely. Now, going back and forth, you haven't made a decision for the Lord yet. You want to. But you haven't understood completely that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And what I mean by that is, if you truly believe that you're born again, your sins have been forgiven, you will fight everything of the world that comes against you. Okay? Now, again, I'm not talking about the battle of the mind. But I'm talking about walking right back into the devil's den purposely. When you realize that, man, you are being redeemed from that. You have been redeemed from it. I'd be like, you know, I get married on a Friday night, but Saturday night I go back out with the guys and the girls again. Yeah, I'm married, but you know, I'm going to break into it easily. You know, I'm just not quite there yet. You know, well, my wife understands. Right? No. But see what I'm saying? It has to be 100% jump in. I'm going to follow the Lord, and that's the way it's going to be. Not saying that you're not going to be tempted. You're not going to struggle. You're going to have to resist the devil. That's all part of following the Lord. But when we step over into the world and we get right back where we was when we call upon the Lord, we're back into the world. That's going back and forth, back and forth. And sooner or later, God, you step back here into the world and you'll lose that desire to step back with God. So he says, we got to choose today whether God be God in our lives or whether the world is. How long we hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Satan is God, follow him, is what he's saying. Woo! Who made the heavens?
God.
Yeah, who got kicked out of heaven? Who do I want to follow? Amen. Amen. But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone is left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put a fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people said, that is a good idea. So what God is having Elijah do is say, throw an altar out of wood, we'll do a sacrifice. And tell him, whichever God ignites the altar is a true God. They said, yeah, sounds like a good idea. It really is a good idea. Go open up some people's eyeballs. And for some of them, it's going to fry them. Because in verse 25, so Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one ox for yourselves and prepare first for you or many and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. Then they took the ox which was given them and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. Calling upon this false god. But there was no voice and no one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they made. It came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he is occupied or going aside or is on a journey or perhaps he's asleep and needs to be awakened. Hey, wake your god up. One translation even says he might be in the toilet through the mocking. Somebody, I mean, now, I don't recommend mocking people of this nature, but he's being led by God, okay? I think what he is, he's sick and tired of people here serving this false god. Now, we are 4 hours into this, and nothing has happened yet. Come on, guys, open your eyes up and realize that I serve the real living Jehovah, the real God. So then they cried out with a loud voice, and they started cutting themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And I'm going to pile there for a second, folks. Cutting is of the devil. Yeah. It's a demonic influence attack on people. It's not why, it's just what we do. It's just, well, this generation, I'm telling you, it's under the influence of an evil spirit. Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm not saying that the person is possessed. I'm saying that they're under the influence of an evil spirit. And folks, every one of us here can battle. We battle all the time, evil spirits. Anybody ever battle the spirit of depression? Yes, spirit of suicide, the spirit of love, all that. It's a battle, okay? And that's a whole different sermon there. But this is what they're doing. They're trying to please their God by cutting themselves. Now, what kind of God would want his people to destroy themselves? Satan would. Because Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. He hates you and me because we're made in the image of God. He hates us because we're children of God. But even those who follow Satan, those who are in the world, he hates them. He's a faker. He'll try to convince them, follow me. And he does that through drugs, alcohol, rock and roll, all kind of stuff, rebellion, all kind of stuff. He'll do that. So they cried with a loud voice and cut themselves according to the custom, the swords and lances, until the blood gushed out of them. When midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord which had been torn down, because they were all jumping on it, and cut themselves up. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. So when the stones With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill your pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water flowed around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. He is soaking this altar now. He's soaking the wood. And there's even water gathered around the moat around this thing. I mean, it is, I'm telling you what, it'd take a lot of gasoline right now just to get it lit. Yep. Yeah, but he's proven beyond a doubt who the true God is. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Jacob. Jacob becomes Israel. Today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that these people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and kicked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. Then Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal, do not let one of them escape. So he seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Machishon, and slew there. He killed all the prophets. But look what happened. It wasn't dancing around. It wasn't Elijah petitioning. He just called upon the name of the Lord, doing what God called him to do. And he proved to the people right then of the true God. Didn't they not agree to this? Whichever God does this is the true living God. Now, have we ever said, God, if you do this for me, I'll follow you forever. Just do this for me, God. And he does it. And we find ourselves going back the other way at one time in our life, right? Can you imagine whatever you called upon if a consuming fire came down? It might have made a difference. But this event took place. This is true. We can learn from Elijah. Remember, Elijah is the one that never tastes death. Obedient to God. And we are the same way with Christ in us. Follow the Lord, and someday we will be taken out of here. Now Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of the roar of a heavy shower. So Ahab went up and eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, the mountain, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. So what he's looking for? A cloud. He's already told Ahab, listen, you're going to hear the roar of a heavy shower coming your way. But when I see him sitting there and say, okay, my head's down, will you look for me? I don't know whether he's getting weak, if he's getting wore out, or he's just saying, okay, come on, see the clouds coming. Because when we serve God, we can get weak. We can get weary. And we need others to come alongside of us, to assist us. Amen? So he went back up. He went up 7 times. And it came about at the 7th time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, so that the heavy shower does not stop you. In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and out ran Ahab to Jezreel. Wow, can you imagine that? He's out running a horse. Wow. The closing point here this morning with Elijah, I want you to notice something here with the prophets of Baal. Ahab is the king. Amen. He's in charge. The prophets are lesser. Who got wiped out? The prophets. We see Ahab sitting there dining, eating, still alive. And the prophets are paying the price for it, right? Well, folks, have you ever been there yourself that way? Man, someone else did something and you're the only one that paid the price? That man, you got caught and they didn't? You know, today, look at ourselves. Each one of us, we'll receive... What's that? No compassion right now, okay? But we got to look at the same thing ourselves today, guys, just to be encouraged. But of our household, or even of our temple here, that we are, if I can put it this way, the king of this. Christ is in our temple. There's a lot more at stake than just ourselves and our walk with God. Ahab, with his power, at any time, because we're going to stop serving Baal. There's a true God, is Jehovah. His family knew it. You go back to the generations, but they chose to do evil. They turned their back on God. But Ahab, at that one moment, because, hey, wait. Don't call down a fire. Elijah's right. There's only one true God. We've been, my family has been following. We've been doing stuff because we want to do it. Elijah, you're right. Jehovah is God. Wow. Look at the difference it made in this 450 people's lives. And you know, I would say probably. And folks, it's the same way in our lives today. We might have been serving the gods of this world. But today, we say, wait. There's only one true God, Jehovah. And I'm going to serve Him. And that will have the same effect in the lives of those who are coming behind you. You say, well, I don't see how. It will. It will have that ripple effect. Okay, you see Ahab, and we might get into it next week, but he'll go back and forth with God. I mean, you would think, seeing this, he'd be done with anything other than Jehovah. But he doesn't. And eventually it will cost him his life. But so again, it pays to follow the Lord. It pays to listen to His Word and to be consumed by His Word. Because God only wants the best for every one of us. He'll never call you to do something that He won't give you the strength to do it. But just like Elijah, he had people in his life helping him, sent by the Lord. And folks, we're the same way here. We have one another to help one another. You know, not the world to help us, but one another in the Lord to encourage one another and be strengthened. Amen? Amen. Hey, Elijah, man. And even by the way, when he kind of describes him again, like I said last week, if I could picture an old Willie Nelson in a younger body but looking the same today, that's what Elijah's kind of described to you about in the Bible. And that's what I see. When I read the story, I see Willie Nelson running it past that chariot, because that's just the way the fuzzy hair and stuff is described in the Bible. So, amen. Amen.